Thank you all. It's an honor to be here today, and I'm here to talk to you just a little bit more about Ebola. I'm sure we've all heard plenty about that in our news over the last several months. For many of us, it's become more than a full-time job, I know that. And Dr. Sullivan was not able to be here today, so I'll be filling in for him. So just a little brief background on Ebola. It's been discovered, was discovered in 1976. It's a highly infectious disease, very deadly, spread by droplet, contact, blood, body fluid, pretty much any bodily fluid you can think of through either open cuts, wounds, exposure to mucous membranes, and that's just a little bit of background. So in Africa, some of the exposures from infected animals, bushmeat, from hunting, that sort of thing, infected bats. And then I want to tell you a little bit about the timeline and then our Baylor Scott & White preparation and response to this. So back in July and August was initially when we started implementing education of our staff and Ebola awareness. With that, we put at all entry points to our facilities Ebola alert signage, basically just kind of our patients coming in wanting to know if they've had any recent travel to the West African regions that were affected. Also for our staff, frontline staff, to be aware of these things and to be screening our patients properly. So that's about the time frame when we implemented this in our facility. So what at the time the CDC recommended, we were looking at something called special precautions is what we coined the phrase. The personal protective equipment that would be required to manage these patients in our facility. So it's changed quite a bit with events in September and October. So these were kind of shockwave events, I would refer to them as. So first with Mr. Thomas Duncan and his presentation to the facility in Dallas, where he ultimately was positive for the Ebola virus. So that was the first shockwave that kind of hit our nation. And then the second one was the nurse who developed the Ebola virus from caring for him. So with those course of events, it really changed how we looked at Ebola and how we were going to manage this if it should come to our facility today. So in October of 2014, we increased our PPE requirements, and this was based on our CDC recommendations. And basically, after the nurse contracted that virus, we kind of all wanted to know why. How did this happen? Excuse me. So, you know, how did it happen? So as a result of this, we had an immediate need for an emergency plan. So every facility needed to decide what that plan might be, how it would look, and exactly how it would work. The other thing was the ability to have the availability of the required treatment level PPE, which was a difficult time for many of us because we couldn't get it and it was backordered. Okay, so what did Baylor Scott & White do at the time? So, you know, 44 acute hospitals, over 500 outlying clinic locations or patient points of care. So we really needed to have a good, well-established plan. So the first thing they did is they developed a governance committee. We were fortunate enough to have a Dr. Jimenez on our committee who had history of managing the SARS outbreak in Canada, was very versed on the treatment level PPE preparation, was able to give a lot to that committee. Additionally, there were infectious disease physicians, infectious disease nurses, leadership, administrative leadership, and we also had nurse leaders on those teams. Additionally, we also had EBS representation there as well. So all these folks at the table coming up with these emergency plans and how we would implement those and how they would look in all of our facilities. So secondly, what we did is we developed a web-based resource site. So this was available to staff, physicians, every staff member or employee of Scott & White is able to access this at any given time by logging into it. You're going to have the most up-to-date information on current PPE, screening processes. There's a documents library. You can pull anything from what do you do if there's an exposure. There's a transportation algorithm. Our plan is to be a screening level facility. However, we would want to transport that patient to a dedicated Baylor Scott & White facility where treatment could be performed. So that's our current plan. Fact sheet, so a lot of patients have questions. So when they call in, how do we respond to those? So this was something that the governance committee kind of talked about, how we would respond to various questions if presented by the community. So we wanted to make sure that we did that and did that well. Advanced level PPE training. So this is going to be required of all emergency department staff, okay, of all Baylor Scott & White systems. So this took a little bit of time. again, getting the actual PPE that we needed to do this training was the first initial challenge. So the PAPR suits and those sorts of things. A lot of the items were on back order. And the goal was to establish 24-hour coverage for all emergency departments. So not just our Memorial region, not just our Dallas facilities, but all EDs. Okay. And the ability, what we wanted to do is to make sure that we are screening patients remotely. So if a patient coming in for a clinic visit, let's say, they should be screened by the phone over making the appointment, had they traveled, any recent history, any recent contact with an Ebola patient. So those questions are being asked by phone before the patient actually presents to the facility. And then additionally, when they arrive at the facility, they're being asked those same exact questions. So we're trying to identify anybody who might be at high risk.